fracking, British style.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From 8 p.m. in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Today, the U.K. is opening up bidding for natural gas drilling in a process that will expand fracking there. The controversial practice has been in play in America for some time and is hotly debated. BBC Energy correspondent John Moylan joins us from London to explain what's happening in Britain. Good morning, John.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Doing well. So Americans tend to have an impression about the UK that environmental regulations are tighter there, and they might be surprised to hear that fracking is expanding in Britain. How controversial is fracking over there?
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about it that it is controversial. And in the few places where there have been attempts to even carry out exploratory drilling, there have been very, very sizable protests. So anybody coming into Britain, any of the big energy majors know there's a risk that they are taking. That said, you can see why they might want to come to Britain. We know we've got resources, and the government is very keen that these are exploited.
Fracking is very controversial in many communities here because of concern about the environmental impact, as we've discussed. But it also has supporters because it has created a lot of jobs in places that were struggling economically. What kind of economic impact could an expansion of fracking have in the UK potentially?
Well, there have been a series of reports that have looked at this. And of course, it's all speculative. But people talk in terms of 50, 60, 70,000 jobs. If fracking takes off in Britain, and if we're one of the first in Europe to embrace it, we could gain expertise and knowledge to be able to bring that elsewhere in Europe. That would be a good earner for Britain too.
And is there enough gas under the UK for fracking to have a major impact on energy prices there?
On prices, it's not clear, because even the gas that we pump out of the North Sea goes into pipelines that are connected in with mainland Europe. So prices tend to be done on a European basis. But the big changing point could be that if a number of other big European countries decided to change their current positions and embrace fracking too, if that were to happen, you've got the prospect of a lot more homegrown gas. And that could have the impact of stabilizing prices and potentially helping them to move a bit lower.
All right, the UK deeper into the fracking debate. We'll be watching that. BBC Energy correspondent John Moylan, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
An international court says Russia must pay $50 billion to compensate shareholders of Yukos, the former energy company. Tim Osborne is director of GML, the group of shareholders, which says Russia illegally seized the company. Osborne says he expects Russia to pay up.
We believe we will have a realistic chance of collecting. We didn't go into this for a Pyrrhic victory to make a point. We went into it to get compensation for the loss we suffered.
Russia says it plans an appeal. It's just the latest problem for Russia, already under economic sanctions for its actions in Ukraine. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading, higher in the UK and in France. Big merger news from the world of discount stores. Dollar Tree is buying Family Dollar. That'll cost $8.5 billion. Asian markets closed up on strong profit numbers from Chinese industry. Friday on Wall Street, the S&P dropped 0.5% to finish at 1978. The Dow lost 0.7%, finishing at 16,960. Lately, we've been talking to CEOs and thought leaders about big ideas. Marketplace's David Brancaccio spoke recently with a physicist and physician working on something you recognize from science fiction.
Namely, the tricorder, the stage prop that the fictional Dr. McCoy used to wave in front of a patient to get a diagnosis in the first seasons of Star Trek. In Real Life 2014, Anita Goel, chairman and CEO of NanoBiosim Diagnostics, is pioneering ways to use nanotechnology to allow people to use a portable device to figure out why they're sick. This has the potential to change medicine as we know it. She and her team are now at work on an actual tricorder as they compete for a Tricorder X Prize to be announced in early 2016. Dr. Goel, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here, David.
So tell me about the device that you and your team have developed called Gene Radar. Now, I'm imagining something maybe the size of an iPad or something, but what would it do?
It's a mobile diagnostic device, currently about the size of an iPad. You would take a drop of blood or saliva, stick it into our nanochip, insert it into our mobile device, and in real time, it will give you a diagnosis of certain diseases based on certain DNA or RNA markers.
Now, I once heard you say, Dr. Goel, that what you would like to do for medicine is what Google did for information. What did you mean by that?
We're taking the ability of diagnosing disease outside of a hospital or centralized lab infrastructure and bringing it out into the patient's bedside, into people's homes and rural remote villages. So what Google did for the information industry and what cell phones did for the telecom industry, we at NanoBiosim are doing for healthcare.
Now, there is a big prize that we have reported on in the past being offered for someone who can build something like the tricorder on Star Trek that Dr. McCoy would use to wirelessly figure out what was wrong with somebody. Now, it's my understanding you're part of a team that's entered that competition?
That's right. We were awarded the grand prize of the last X Prize, and now we're in the works for the next one, which is based on the tricorder.
You're comfortable with the Star Trek connections? I mean, you go to the website for that prize, and there's people dressed up like Klingons and stuff like that. But ultimately, it sounds like you're happy to participate.
Well, I think it's about making the future happen faster. And I think, you know, for me, this has been a 20-year journey of working at the nexus of physics, medicine, nanotechnology, information science, with a dream that the next generation of quantum leaps in our science, our technology, our businesses would happen at the nexus of those silos.
Anita Goel, Chairman and CEO of NanoBiosim, Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
That's David Brancaccio, and in New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.